Thank you. We are all Vaidvas in one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, indigenous people in the later corners of this land. The body does not consist of one member, but many. One member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. We are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Baptized by the Spirit, we claim our membership of the body of Christ.
For my soul.
the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under the heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven. Such love as I've never known, I found in the grace that flows to me. In my own righteousness, that's why my heart and soul come confess. No other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven. Such love as I never known, I found in the grace that flowed to me. For my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven.
Greet everybody around you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, morning. Hello.
All right, are we good now? Better? Yes, that sounds better. All right. This is new technology, new to me, and I was able to go out there as well, so that's kind of cool. All right, as we start our service, I'm going to ask from the congregation, are there any announcements that anybody has that is not in the bulletin? I have a few that I'll announce later. In the back, Lasa's here with the mic, so she will come to the back.
Hello, I'm Nita Klein. I would like to thank everybody that prayed for me while I had 9 weeks ago a skin cancer operation on my right leg and was admitted on September 22nd to Concordia Hospital for a week with the diverticulitis. It is an inflammation of the pouches of the colon. I also would like you to know that Henry's sister Helen, my sister-in-law, passed away on September 22nd at the age of 93 years in Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing with us. Mrs. Klein, it is wonderful to see you in church this morning, and we send you our condolences and sympathies.
Good morning. Jake Tays here. Yeah, we had the privilege of yesterday celebrating Cecile's mom's 103rd birthday.
Wow.
And we had a great time. Thank you.
That is a celebration.
Hi, Chris Titterton. Last week there was an announcement that my grandpa on my dad's side in Alberta was going in for heart surgery. And just an update, it all went well. He had a valve replaced and then had to also have a pacemaker added in. But it all went well, and my parents will be coming back to Manitoba shortly.
Awesome. Great news. These are great announcements. Well, some of them.
Good morning. I thought I would say that there was a fundraising race this morning for the Winnipeg Firemen's and Paramedics Association, and my brother and Kim, my brother just turned 50 this year, and they both ran the half marathon this morning, so that's about 22 kilometers, so I think that's impressive. I thought I would call that out, as well as their whole family, I think, Christian and Alyssa and Adrian, they all ran as well, and my wife also ran. She did 10 kilometers, so she's going to be here at church, but she just needed to recover slightly before she came. So,
I would say this running Zacharias plan is certainly impressive.
Let's stay on the positive news side. I was up and visited my son and daughter-in-law and my fantastic, beautiful, lovely, amazing granddaughter. thanks. So anyway, she's wonderful. They've built a wonderful life for themselves up there in Yellowknife. I wish, of course, that they were closer, but I cannot begrudge them the life that they have up there. And it's just amazing to be able to hold your granddaughter. And I know all of you, or lots of you, have already had that experience. So now I'm part of the Grandpa Club, and boy, does it feel good.
And I'm sure all the grandmas and grandpas are saying welcome to that club. Okay, is there any other news? Okay, then I will go through some other announcements, and then I'll go through some of the items in the bulletin as well. There is a birth announcement that is not in the bulletin. It's Caius Bahudasai. He was born on October 4th. Brother to Daya and parents Ashley and Anil. The grandparents are Elvira Cron and Carl and Tara Cron. Great grandparents are Ike Gunther and Anna Funk and Rita and Jake Cron. So amongst the good news with the birth, it is also noted that Kai will need heart surgery and is with his parents in Edmonton. Ashley is also under medical care after a difficult delivery. So let's pray for the family and the medical team as they prepare for the surgery. And let's lift our prayers to the whole family so that the outcome is a very positive and quick one. Another note of condolence that is not in the bulletin, Aaron's grandma, Madeline Denishuk, has passed away on October 9th. The funeral was yesterday, so let's keep Aaron, Carrie, and the entire Denishuk family in your prayers as well. Jacob Dick is in Concordia Hospital, and Hildy Weens is at the HSC, so let us also keep them in their prayers, along with the many people that are in extended care and also at home who need your prayer support for various ailments and conditions, and just need your support in the ongoing life struggles that we all share. Now, with some bulletin points, I'm going to just briefly highlight several of them. There's a celebration at Bethania this afternoon at 2 o'clock, so we can have our church service, we can have lunch downstairs, and then you can go to Bethania for their Thanksgiving celebration as well. Monday, there will be, on October 23rd at 7, there's a get-together for all the ladies that were serving at funerals and part of the Willing Helpers group, so make a note of the time and date. Although Kim Zacharias is not here, she's also taking orders for the pierogies and farmer sausage fundraiser for Westgate, so you can let her know by October 15th if you'd like to order. And now with a parent and child dedication, there is a service being held on October 29th. If there are any children that you want your children or grandchildren to be dedicated, you need to talk to the pastor. And then our clothing fair as well. that is being held on November 7th, and they're accepting gently used clothing and toys and things for families in need in the community. It's been a great service to the community over the past several years, so it's good to see that tradition being maintained. Okay. Now we will enter a quiet time. I'd ask you all to bow your heads in prayer. Loving God, we come to worship you this morning as members of the body of Christ, seeking to abide in your presence. We hope to still the buzz of everyday life so that we can hear your voice. Open our minds to your spirit of wisdom, that we may know how to live as your people. We hope to learn from your word so that we can leave encouraged and willing to live as a member of your body. Open our hearts to your spirit of truth, that we may love all your people with a love that speaks of justice, kindness, and grace. May this time of worship be authentic and pleasing to you. Amen.
I'm glad we're at church and we've got a forgiving crowd. Better.
That sounds good.
Alrighty, guys. Good morning. How are you all today? Well, a little tired, maybe? A little quiet? So, I don't exactly have a story for you guys today, but I do have a little bit of a job for some of you. So can I get a couple of volunteers? Anyone? Yeah? Okay, can you come up to the front maybe a little bit? Okay, so what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to hold this noodle, and I want you to try to put some Cheerios on it with one hand. So you have one hand to hold the noodle and put these Cheerios on. So that's kind of a little bit of a job. It's a tough task. But do you want to try it? All right. So put one hand behind your back and try to get the three Cheerios on the noodle with just that hand. All right. So it's the same thing in church. We're kind of like a team, and we're called the body of Christ. And one thing that kind of stood out to me in the call to worship was, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. So if one of you is sad, everyone else in the church will be sad too, because we want you to be happy, to be healthy. And it goes the same way the other way around. So if one of you is happy, I noticed a few people jumping and singing and having a good time behind me. I was happy for you. And so that kind of happens with church. If one of you is happy, we're all happy for you. So, when you become a Christian, you're an important part of what the Bible calls the body of Christ. Just as God arranges all the parts of our wonderful bodies, God also arranges us as parts of his body, which is the church. We are each born with different abilities and talents. When we use our talents, we are like parts of the body, all working together. So some of you will have lovely voices and like to sing or read. Some of you are good at building things and working in the garden. Some of you are friendly and can make people feel comfortable. Some of you are teachers and are leaders. The list goes on. So each one of us can find something for which we have a special talent. So throughout this week, I want you to think about what it is that you do well and something that you love doing, and then I want you to use that in your day-to-day life. You will fit together with other Christians into the body of Christ, and you will make a big difference in your own life and the lives of others. So, can we bow our heads for prayer, please? All right. Dear God, please give us the strength to not only love you on our own, but also together as the body of Christ. By doing this, we become stronger together and can glorify your name the best we possibly can. Amen. You guys can go wherever you're going. I'm not quite sure where that is.
Jesus, I am ready to surrender. to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 12.
Wait.
I think it's me now, right? No worries. Thank you. Good morning. If I could have Gary and Franz, please join me on stage or up here. Thank you.
Neil Kramer.
I'm boxed in. It's my honor and privilege to stand here before you on behalf of council and the congregation. I would like to thank both of you for your time and energy that you have spent caring for our congregation. God has sent you to us at a time of need, and you helped to unify and heal our congregation. Gary, God has blessed you with the ability to see the gifts in others, and you have showed us the beauty and strength you have found in us. You have told us over and over again what a caring and giving church we are. Your overwhelming positive outlook on life and encouragement filled us with hope again for the future of our church. You were able to build a bridge for many of us and gave us the ability to move forward again. Your messages were full of love, and you showed us that love to us all. We are grateful for you, your energy, your sense of humor, your love of God, and your love of our church. Thank you. Franz, you came to us out of retirement from a quiet spot in the garden, and helped us to grow and see that God is still here among us. You have given your time and your energy to help us continue in our love of each other. Your wisdom, experience, sense of humor, and kindness are greatly appreciated by all, and we are thankful you are here. We are thankful for both of you for being you. As a token of our appreciation, I would also like to present both of you a gift.
if you guys want to say something, you're more than welcome, but you don't have to. It's up to you. It wasn't in the script, but whatever you feel like.
The time is ticking.
Time is ticking. And definitely there'll be opportunity for everyone to say their own personal words to both Gary and Franz downstairs, because we're having a lunch as well. So.
Yes, I really think, you know, that was the timer here. It says, don't make it too long. I just want to say this. Thank you. I came here not expecting the response that I actually got from you. I thought, okay, they are going to all stay a little bit in distance because, you know, this guy is just coming in here to help out. Here's a bridge and you walk on it, right? But you have been amazing, and I want to say thank you for including both Ilse and I into your life and church life here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Or for an old preacher, that was pretty short. As I've said before, being here has been a gift. You have been God's gift to us, and I want to thank you. Just like Lasse was saying in the story this morning, as we hold hands, we see the good in each other, and it's wonderful. God has been with us as we've walked and danced together, if I can say that, in the Mennonite Church. And as we've eaten and dreamt and played together, it's been great. So thank you so much for your generosity, your open hearts, and your love toward us.
I think we're going to break a little bit from tradition this afternoon. As we're leaving, I am going to ask all three pastors and their wives to all come stand at the back to greet the congregation. It's kind of three eras and a welcome and a thank you. And I think that would be kind of a cool thing to have all of you in the back as well. And with that, I will now read the scripture reading, which is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues.
Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still more excellent way.
Well, here we go, huh? It has been 7 years since I preached to a congregation in which I was the pastor. You've heard me preach once, and you voted. And you said, we're going to entrust our care and our congregation and our teaching to this man. That's a leap of faith. And I think that's all right. I took a bit of a leap of faith too. And I think together we'll do okay. Let's pray before we begin this morning's sermon. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, our church's preaching theme, I don't know if you've been told this or not, for the fall has been the church. Now, that's a pretty broad theme. A lot of things could be done within that theme. It's not very prescriptive for the preacher. And this preacher, your new pastor, got plunked down sort of in the middle of this fall time and series, not having been present for the previous sermons in this series. You might not even know there was a series. Not knowing what has been said, but being asked, what are the sermons going to be? By worship leaders and song leaders. And so, the first days, that was my task. Come up with some sense of a series. So I did. In the middle of that uncertainty, I remembered a sermon series outline that I'd seen earlier, provided by the Shalom Mennonite Fellowship in Tucson, Arizona. This resource suggested a series about the church drawn from the New Testament letters and accompanied by personal vacation stories. And so I proposed to our worship committee that we use this resource as a guideline for what was left of this series of sermons on the church. They seemed to agree with the idea, and so we're off on the series where we compare vacation stories to ideas about the church drawn from New Testament letters. Now, it's not an uncommon event for a family to leave someone from the family behind on a vacation. It's not common to do that unplanned or accidentally, like the family in the Home Alone movies did, but it is not uncommon that a family will plan to leave someone behind. So some years ago, my oldest son, Craig, was left at home while the rest of the family went on a vacation trip. Craig was a Bible college student at the time, at home to work for the summer, and so he had a full-time job and was not able to accompany the rest of the family on their trip. That was convenient in some ways. We didn't need to worry about having someone check the house, tend the cat, take in the mail while we were gone. It could have worked out just fine. But while we were away, a part of the kitchen sink drain broke for some reason or other, and Craig felt very anxious about using the kitchen sink, so the dishes were... No, I don't recall that the dishes were left undone. I think he somehow managed to do it. I don't remember that. But it sounds good anyway. But the cat did cause grief for him. There was no love lost between our cat and Craig. He was away from home, so, you know, at Bible college, so he didn't have to deal with this cat normally. But on this period he did. And the cat decided to let his distaste for Craig be known by making smelly and unattractive deposits on Craig's pillow. And Craig was rather upset at the cat. So while Craig was not the kind of son who wished his parents would leave so that he could be home alone, he wasn't the kind of son who needed a lesson. in the benefit of living well with others, but the experience was still one in which he discovered that having other members of the family at home with him was a good thing, that there was a useful role that they played in the function of the family unit, and that he might actually like to have them around. Being left home alone was not all that it was cracked up to be. Now, that vacation story can be compared to the Christian church. Just as the family unit works best when the various members join together to give of their capabilities for the functioning of the family, so the church works best when its members work together, using their various abilities and gifts for the benefit of the whole. The church doesn't work very well when it leaves a member alone to fend for himself or herself, or when members want to use their gifts and abilities without considering how to use them in harmony with other members. The church is not a place where people should operate as if they're home alone. Home alone thinking is counterproductive to the operation of the church. The Apostle Paul described the church as a body in 1 Corinthians 12. So how does that description relate to our thoughts about home alone thinking? Let's consider what Paul tells us about how the church should work in 1 Corinthians 12, keeping in mind that he clearly wants the people in the church to understand each other's value and to recognize that they must work together. The church is not a body of people who are home alone. So in verse 13 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, Paul calls the Christian church a body. While this image applies to the entire Christian church throughout the world, it seems most easily applied when we think of the local church that we're a part of. Today, North Kildonan Mennonite Church. When we have chosen to follow Jesus, Paul tells us, we have received the Holy Spirit. That has made us members of the Christian church. I think that refers to the universal Christian church. But many of us have chosen to express that membership in the universal Christian church in this local church community, the one that we have selected, North Kildonan Mennonite Church. Now from there, Paul goes on to compare individuals in the church to parts in the human body. If the church is a body, then each of the individual members of the church is like a part in the human body. If the church is like a human body, then we can draw some interesting parallels. And that's what Paul does as he continues in this chapter. We could say that Paul addresses people who think like they are home alone within the church. So the first problem can be characterized as people saying they're not needed in the church. So I say to you, I'm not needed. Nobody values my opinions or pays attention to me. I can't do anything very well anyway. And it's obvious that everyone else thinks that way too. And if I'm not needed here, well, then I may just fade away from this group. They won't even notice that I'm not participating. They probably won't even notice if I leave altogether. And Paul has some things to say about that. From verses 14 to 20, he talks about the body being made up of a variety of parts. He says, look, if the foot were to say, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body, that would be silly. Of course the foot still belongs to the body. He talks about how the physical body would be handicapped if it lost any of its parts. And Paul's point is that the church is like that too. Every person in the church is significant. God has made us the kind of people that we are so that we can contribute in our own special way to the body. So Paul would say, it's not right to say, I'm not needed. I am needed in the church. I have some kind of ability or gift or perspective that will benefit the church. God has made me in such a way that I have something to offer to the church. And so the point Paul is making has something to say to one of humanity's common problems. That problem of feeling like we don't amount to much. Feeling like we don't have much to offer, little significance. Paul's point about the Christian church says to each of us that when we're thinking that way, God's truth tells us that we do matter. We are important. We have a valued place within the Christian church. We are needed. Now, the second problem that surfaces in the Christian church and is a result of home alone thinking is the problem that comes when I say, I don't need you. Sometimes people are like that. They think they're quite self-sufficient and they strongly resist admitting that they need other people. If I'm a person like that, I say, I don't need you. You just create problems for me. I have all the resources I need to get along quite well in life by myself. So don't make me work together with you in the body. I'll handle whatever I need to handle quite fine by myself. And Paul has some things to say about that. From verses 21 through 26, he talks about the parts of the body needing the other parts. For example, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. If the eye says to the hand, I don't need you, it will find itself at a dead end. The eye will see things that need to be done, but won't be able to do anything about getting them done, because there will be no hand to do what the eye sees needs to be done. Paul's point is that the church is like the human body in this respect. All the individuals that make up the church need each other in the church. We're fools to say that we don't need others in the church. We will eventually come upon some kind of difficulty where we desire the support of others. Or we will be in contact with someone else in the church with whose perspective we disagree, and we find ourselves learning useful things from hearing the other person's perspective. We simply must admit that every individual is valuable in the church, and we all need the assistance of, or to learn from, others at some point in our lives' journeys. Paul goes on to say that the human body is interesting because there are parts that we think are less honorable, but we treat them with great honor, and there are parts that are unpresentable, but we treat them with modesty. And I'm not going to try to analyze what Paul is thinking about specifically. I think your imaginations can take care of that. What he's saying, as this compares with the church, is that we are wrong to think that there are people whose gifts or abilities aren't much good. We choose rather to honor the gifts of all because they are all useful and valuable. And he's also saying that there may be times when people aren't very noticed in the church. They seem to be hidden in a way. But those people still have valuable things to offer in the life of the church. These comparisons remind us to never say that we don't need others in the church. Every member is valuable. Every member is needed. We need everyone else in the church. So think about those two attitudes that Paul has been challenging here. I think we may have a tendency to say one of those two things ourselves. So think about that. Do you tend to say, I'm not needed? Or do you tend to say, I don't need you? Well, both tendencies are less than helpful. We are needed and we need others. In the church, it's never good to think we're better off being home alone. Now, it feels like the sermon could end there, but we still have a paragraph left in the chapter that we read. So we can infer a third problem for the church from the remainder of the chapter. That problem is the problem that people don't want to be involved and contribute within the body. A little bit different than the other things we've been talking about. So you say, you need some help in that area? Well, I might be able to do something like that, but I'm not going to. I don't feel like contributing right now. Find someone else who can do the job. And I think Paul has something to say about that attitude. As I already noted, we have to make an inference from the last paragraph to get to this place, but it makes sense. Paul speaks of the gifts that are given to all the members of the body that is the Christian church. Earlier in the chapter, in the section we didn't read, in verse 7, Paul spoke of how all Christians are given gifts for use in the church by the Holy Spirit. Well, it follows that if we are given gifts for use in the church, we want to use them. And I think that's why Paul concludes the chapter with describing some of the gifts people receive from the Holy Spirit. It's not an inclusive list. even though he says first, second, third, I don't really think he's trying to create a value order as he describes these gifts. They are all beneficial, and they are given to people. The point of sharing the list is to remind people that they have gifts, and that these gifts, abilities, perspectives are intended to be used in the church. Because we are valuable parts of a body, and because we have gifts designed for use within the body, it is good for us to say, I will do what I can to help in this body. Now, how does that impress you? I'm new here. I don't know exactly how things function in this church, obviously. But I imagine that what I have observed in the churches I've been a part of for the last 20 years or so is likely true here too. It's a bit difficult these days to find people to fill all the roles that we have grown accustomed to having within a church. I remember church many years ago when, and you, I'm guessing you've had this experience too, that when it came time in an annual meeting to fill all the roles that we had designed and created, we had multiple names for each role. We had an election. We chose people to fill roles. There was something awful about that system. But we had, I don't know if you had that experience. Did that function like that here too? There were lots of people who were willing to say yes, it seemed. And that dwindled down until we had what in many ways was probably a better system, where we just asked people to use their gifts and they said yes or no, and we didn't have elections between people. But it has become, it seems to me, increasingly difficult to find people to fill all those roles. Sometimes we need to look at the roles that we think we want to have and say, it doesn't make sense anymore. We can't have all these roles. We don't have the people for them. But sometimes we also need to ask ourselves, are we saying no to opportunities and possibilities in the church where we could be saying yes and continuing these things? Because sometimes any one of us might say, I don't have the time to do that, when we're asked to consider a role. And sometimes that's true. Some people have already taken on as many tasks as they should, and sensible life balance is a good thing. But let's admit that sometimes the I don't have time response means that we're declining it because we just don't want to cramp our lifestyles. We want to be free from responsibility in the church so that we can take advantage of other opportunities we have. So, let's just remember that God wants us to use the gifts He's given us in the life of the church. Sometimes, one of us might respond when we're invited to consider a role in the church, I don't think I can do that. Well, sometimes that's true. There are things that we don't all have equal gifts for. We can't all do every task well that needs to be done in the church. But sometimes it would be better to consider the notion that the fact that I was asked means someone else thinks I could do it. Maybe. Sometimes, any one of us might say, I can't make a commitment to that position because I don't know if I will still be here 2 years from now, and that position carries with it the expectation that I'll do it for 2 years. Well, of course that's true. None of us know that we're going to be here 2 years from now. None of us can say for certain that we'll be here. But I don't think that's the best response. I think the better response is to say, well, I think I could contribute in that role. I don't know if I'll be here for the time that's expected, but for while I am here, I'm willing to be involved. I think that's better. Sometimes, someone among us might say, I won't respond positively to the suggestion because I'm too young. I've never done something like that. I don't think I could. Or, I'm too old. I've already done that for a lot of years. I've given my time. Let someone else do it now. Well, for the I'm too young idea, I'd say, let's make it work. Let's provide some encouragement and some direction. Let's use the gifts of younger folks. And for those, and it's more likely that we're going to hear I'm too old here, but for those folks, let's recognize that in our church and in our society, the body of people is aging. It's getting, there's a shift toward a larger percentage of people being elderly. There's also a change in that we are living better and more healthily and doing more things as we get older. So let's not say too quickly, I'm too old. All of those thoughts about what we sometimes say relate to the idea that one of the problems of church life occurs when people say that they don't want to do what they can. And that's another way church people may demonstrate home alone thinking. So let's wrap this up. You'll notice that I have resisted including any sports imagery. I could have. I could think of the, you know, there's no I in team, or, well, my individual accomplishments really don't matter, whether I scored the touchdown or oh, that's football, or scored a hat trick in this game. That really doesn't matter, because what matters is the team. And we know that's all a cliche that's not entirely true when the person says it. So I resisted using any sports imagery. You'll notice that. We've seen three potential problems that arise when people in the church believe that they're better off being left home alone, or when people feel like they have been left home alone. And those are that people feel that they're not needed, or that they don't need others, or that they say they don't want to do what they can. And the Apostle Paul says that home alone is not the right option. When we have the Holy Spirit in our lives as a result of committing ourselves to Jesus Christ, we are gifted in some way by the Spirit. And this giftedness is intended to be used within the Christian body. Each one of us is needed here. And each one of us needs the others. Home alone is not how we want to be in the church. Let's pray together. Our God, thank you for this church. This morning, we have recognized Franz and Gary, who have been a part of this church. Not for very long, but they've been important. They've been needed. And they have given of themselves. We're grateful for that. And they have expressed also how this church has been important to them. How it's been a place for them, a place of caring and love. And I'm encouraged by that. And I'm thankful for that. And I pray for Gary and Franz as they move on from their roles. And that you would encourage and bless them as they experience some loss and as they move ahead in the journey that you've given them. And I pray for us as a congregation that you would guide us to be people who value togetherness, who are willing to contribute, who are willing to experience the gifts of others, and who resist the notion of being home alone within the church. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
We will walk hand in hand, together we'll spread the news. God is in our land, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Would you stand as we pray a final prayer of blessing? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So remain standing, please. Sing the last song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
as grace flows down.